Welcome to Locked On Nets. On today's show, the fellas discuss the tough loss to the Toronto Raptors, Rodion Krusevic's really nice game and his potential moving forward, and the news that Alan Crabb will be out for the remainder of the season, coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the studios of the Locked On Nets podcast, I am your host, Josh Bass. Joining me, as always, is my man, Marcus Barahal. And we are your go-to daily stop for the Brooklyn Nets, podcasting about them, giving you the most up-to-date information as they prepare for their playoff chase. You can find our podcasts on Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Apple Podcast app, and of course, our good friends at Himalaya. They're doing a lot of great things in terms of podcasting distribution. Highly recommend that you check them all out. Marcus, how are you doing?
I'm good, Josh. We're in the same room. A rare occasion, but I think it's starting to become a little more commonplace, I'm going to say. We've done a little bit more in person lately. It's good to see you.
I know. It's always good to see you, and I feel like there's always more chemistry when you do it in person over the phone.
It's true. I can, like, hold up my hand to signal you. I can...
ISO.
I can put my hand on your knee if I want. I've just floated it over. I won't do it, but I could, I'm saying.
I'm glad that you have some options at your disposal. The Brooklyn Nets played on Wednesday night. We're getting this out a bit late, but there was a few days off between the last game, and you know, I was more than ready to do a live pod right after the game. The Nets hung around a little bit, but ultimately just couldn't get the job done against the Toronto Raptors. Toronto was hitting every three. Serge Ibaka, who came into the game shooting 27% from three, was 5 of 5, and each one took a little bit more out of my soul. It just was not a good game to watch, in my opinion. A ton of missed shots. Dinwiddie couldn't hit a three. LeVert couldn't hit anything. D'Lo really struggled until late when he caught fire. Really, the guys that were getting it done, it was mainly Rodi Krusevic with a lot of highlight plays at the start of the game.
Yeah, Rodi definitely brought energy, and I think he's been tasked, like, the last few games with, like, they try him on Giannis, they'll try him on Tatum, they tried him on Kawhi, and I think he kind of feeds off that. He's still, even though he's, like, matured a lot in this first year, he's still, like, an energy guy at his core, so I think going against those guys on defense can kind of fuel him on offense and kind of give him like a kick in the pants to play harder on that end. But yeah, overall this game was tough because it was like pretty close in the first quarter, and then Toronto like went on that run at the end of the quarter to push it ahead, and then it never really got closer than I think 5 or 7 after that, but it also never got further than like 12 or 14, so it wasn't like the Nets were getting blown out. It was just like Toronto was just a little bit better the whole game.
Yeah, no, I kept waiting to like for Toronto to go on an 8-0 run in the second half, and then I just turn it off in disgust, but it didn't happen, and then they were kind of down by 8 or 9 the whole way, and then I said, oh, there's only a minute left. We're just not going to win this.
Yeah, it was more like the Nets ran out of time than they like than Toronto like put the nail in the coffin or anything. I guess Kyle Lowry did hit a few like big threes late when it looked like Brooklyn had some momentum thanks to D'Angelo Russell, but I think it was mostly, in my opinion, it was like the offensive rebounding that Brooklyn gave up. Like a lot of second and third chances. Siakam and Ibaka like controlled the game inside, and that's not totally Jared Allen's fault. It's like partially the zone and like communication, but it's just an effort thing, and a lot of the Nets players didn't box those guys out, and so they just gave up extra opportunities. Toronto had 17 offensive rebounds in the game, which is a ton, so I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, and they're not like a huge team, you know.
They kind of are in their starting lineup. Like Kawhi starts at the three, and he's huge with Siakam.
Yeah,
and Gasol.
But Siakam's not super big. I mean, Gasol is a big dude. We've all seen those pictures of him in high school at Memphis. But you know, he's slimmed down a little bit.
He's still thick.
Yeah, he's I think it's like 2 C's thick, not any more or less than that. No. But yeah, there were plays. The Nets were making it kind of close in the fourth, and then Toronto had the ball, and the shot went up, and Siakam just beasted Jared Allen for an offensive rebound, and Jared Allen has 3 or 4 inches on him. That can't happen, and they got an extra possession out of it. They drew a foul and got free throws. The defense was just so bad from the Nets. No recognition in transition. There were times where two Nets would go to one guy and leave, whether it be Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, who hit some deep threes, Siakam with open shots. I mean, The Raptors shot 15 of 38 from three, which is amazing, but it honestly feels like it was better in kind of live during the game.
Yeah, I think it was because they started off 0 of 6 from three,
yeah.
And like the score was really low the first couple minutes, and then I remember like checking the score, and the Nets were up, I think, 2, even though Toronto was 0 of 6 from 3, and I was like, that's not a good sign. And then from there on out, they were red hot from downtown, and it evened out, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, the Nets did have a couple nice moments. Dinwiddie had some really good drives to the basket, especially in the third quarter. He just couldn't get a shot to go from outside, unfortunately, even though he did have some good looks. But yeah, I mean, the Nets are just really struggling right now. You can tell Kenny's searching. He tried Travion Graham. That didn't work. He tried Rondé, who was a disaster. I mean, he got my blood boiling, turned the ball over multiple times.
Hit attack.
Wild shots at the rim where it's like, okay, when Rondé is good, it's like, okay, this is happening. And when he's bad, it's just get him out ASAP.
Yeah, and so we've talked about before where, like, Kenny just needs to recognize, like, I think it's fine to try guys like that out, like Rondé and Travion, but if they don't have it, you have to recognize it kind of quick because they have like a pretty low floor.
Yeah, well, at least Travion knows he doesn't have it,
right.
So he won't try to make something happen. I mean, Rondé in 9 minutes took 5 shots, turned the ball over 3 times, missed 2 free throws. He's just causing a lot of chaos on the court, and it wasn't working out in the Nets' favor.
Yeah, the Nets had like an interesting lineup, I thought, at the start of the fourth, where it was D'Lo, Dinwiddie, LeVert, Dudley, and Allen. So it was like the three ball handlers plus Dudley and Jared Allen, which I liked the Dudley-Allen combo, but I think that having those three guys all out there at the same time kind of minimizes their impact, because like LeVert kind of has to have the ball since he's like not a consistent enough shooter, and then that limits like what D'Lo can do, and it limits what Dinwiddie can do. So I think, I mean, LeVert didn't have it in this game. Dinwiddie was fine. Russell played his way into it, and I think they should have staggered those guys more.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I definitely see what you're saying. I think Kenny was just trying to do anything, and those three guys do have more firepower. And even though LeVert sucked in this game, and I overreacted on Twitter by saying he's never going to be an impact player, he has been shooting the three ball at least decently well. I mean, you're not going to rely on him as a spot up guy at this point. But
he played well the last few games.
He definitely has.
He had like 4 straight with 15 plus.
And that's why this was so disappointing.
Right.
And also just like the Jared Dudley, Jared Allen combo. I just keep picturing Jared Dudley on a crane 50 feet above, like controlling Jared Allen and telling him where to go on defense for the positioning.
They like fit each other well because like you have Allen's athleticism, you have Dudley's basketball IQ. Yeah,
so smart.
Dudley can shoot, Allen can roll to the rim. If you like put them in one person,
that could be an amazing player.
Yeah, if we could just fuse them.
It would be like an Anthony Davis, I feel like.
Yeah, once Prokhorov isn't like the majority owner, he'll have more time on his hands. Maybe he can work on that.
Yeah, or we just get like Jared Allen to do a blood transfusion into Jared Dudley.
He's a smart guy. He could probably figure it out.
He really could. He really could. And we're two smart guys also, I think. And that's why we're going to take a break right here. You know, Marcus and I have been called wise guys in the past, and that's why our preferred camera is Wyze. W-Y-Z-E. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. It's packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080p Full HD, images so clear you won't miss a thing, night vision, two-way audio, all of this is included in a Wyze camera. Their mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. I think it's a pretty good mission, right, Marcus?
I would say so, yeah. I know a little bit about missions, and that sounds good.
Yeah, that's going to be our mission statement, to bring amazing podcasts and make them accessible to everyone. There's free rolling 14-day cloud storage, $20 a camera. You can do all that. Marcus, what do you like to use Wyze for?
I like to use it to look at my coworker George's office. I mentioned it on our last Wyze read. I checked in again at work just to see. You know, you can turn the camera around a little bit. We zoomed in on a door that his friend had installed. So a lot going on in George's office. Thanks to the Wyze camera, I'm up to date on all of it.
That's great. No, I'm really happy you're finding great uses for it. You can patrol your room with the pan scan technology, set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Wyze adding a lot of value to make sure that you always know what's going on with your home. Go to wyze.com/locked. That's wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Yeah, so that was the game. I do want to give Rhodey a lot of credit because he had some great minutes early. He had a really nice block. He drove baseline and had an explosive dunk. He drove to the middle and had a really nice dunk. And then the next play, he was matched up on a big man, drove baseline, had a really nice reverse layup. And, you know, he's struggled a little bit lately, especially from the free throw line, some defensive lapses. But I actually really am high on his potential long term, and especially as a second round pick, it's going to be tremendous value for the Nets when he begins to kind of get a bit more consistent next year and moving forward.
Yeah, I think worst case he's a rotation player, and if you're picking
that,
yeah, if you're picking the second round, that's like insane. What do you think about, like, because he's kind of gotten a little bit shortchanged, I think, minutes wise the last couple of games. Like, he played 19 in this game, even though he was 5 for 7 from the field. Like, he played well, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Do you think he should be getting more minutes, or like, because right now it's like Dudley's still playing a decent amount. Mm. Carroll's obviously going to get minutes, and then Graham and Rondé got some time in this game. So do you think Kenny should kind of put more on Rhodey over these next couple games?
Yeah, I do, because I think Carroll's very consistent. You know, yeah, you're going to have him for 25 minutes a night or so. But besides that, Rondé sucks. Travion is just, he can't, if he's hitting shots, he's okay.
Sure.
But, you know, you're not going to rely on him. And let me take that back on Rondé. I think he's someone that, if you're down 20, you throw him out there and see,
yeah,
if he can make something happen like he did against the Kings.
Low floor, high ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we need more of a consistent player. And then Jared Dudley can't play more than really 15 or 20 minutes. So you look at a guy like Rhodey, and he did play really well in March. I mean, he shot 40% from three on over three attempts a game. And you look and say, why is this guy only getting 21 minutes? Because if he has it that night, he can be the Nets' most explosive forward on the court. So especially in a game against the Raptors where he was playing well on offense and making some impact plays, I'd like to see him get maybe 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I think, like I mentioned in the last segment, his impact, I think, has to start on the defensive end, because he's never going to be the first option for the Nets, or even the second,
yeah,
or third, probably, because Russell or Dinwiddie, whoever's out there, is going to take charge, and then either like Joe Harris or Caris LeVert, those are both guys who can kind of, Joe can't really create his own shot, but he can kind of use screens to get himself a shot, whereas Rhodey, I think, really needs to rely on like those backdoor cuts that he does so well,
yeah,
and like just being open in the corner and popping to the right spots. But on defense, I think he is a huge X factor for Brooklyn, because he's really their only like athletic wing defender right
yeah
now.
I don't know. He has a really good first step.
No, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know. I'm kind of into him becoming like not a primary, not a secondary, but maybe a tertiary creator in a couple seasons. And I think he's not going to have the same trajectory, but you and I talking about this, we're saying he could become kind of like a Siakam light, ideally, for the Nets.
Yeah, I think that's a fair player for him to look at to kind of develop into. Siakam obviously has made like a huge jump this season, so it's not like every player is going to make like a big
right
leap every year. But I think that type of player is what you kind of want Rhodey to grow into.
Yeah, and then from a jump shooting standpoint, he does have a much more of a base than Siakam does, and obviously Siakam is a huge outlier because his feel is amazing. He's a really good athlete, good rebounder, can score very efficiently at all levels, but definitely a guy for Rhodey to aspire to be.
Yeah, and they both have that like long stride. They're both quick, and like they can just kind of like reach past the defense almost when they drive. So it's definitely, I think it's a good comp.
They are both on Team World.
Yeah.
That's big.
Two international guys.
Two international guys. I've always thought there was a kinship between Latvia and Cameroon.
Yeah, I think they're sister countries.
Yeah, they're both, I think, like three-ish players in the NBA.
Yeah, Joel Embiid and Davis Bertans also very similar.
Yes, no, a lot of people have compared. They're both big Twitter trolls.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's more Dyrus Bertans, the brother of Davis.
I was going to say, I would have believed that Davis Bertans didn't even have a Twitter, or like even knew what Twitter
was.
He's
a big social media president,
really?
DB.
I don't know anything about him other than
his game.
Great
three-point shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
Great three-point shooter. So, Marcus, we are recording this at 8:30 on a Friday. There's some games going on with the Nets competition. I only have pretty much bad news to report. Orlando, which was up 32-7 on Atlanta, is now up 34 late in the third quarter. We'll kiss that one goodbye. Charlotte's even winning against Toronto. What else? Miami's up by 7 over Minnesota. Detroit's up by 1 right now on Oklahoma City. We really just can't have nice things anymore.
No.
And I have to hang out with Gavin also right now. He's sitting about 3 feet away from me. Gavin, say hi.
Hi.
What's going on Locked On Knicks?
We're losing to, by we, I mean the Knicks. We're losing by 19 to the Knicks. I will say the
Pirates.
To the Rockets.
Huh?
You're losing by 19 to the Knicks.
Oh. Yeah, I try to rationalize all Knicks games by saying, like, we're losing to the Knicks to, like, imply, like, that the Knicks are winning.
This is a big selling point for you. You could get some crossover listeners, and you're really blowing your chance.
In actuality, the Knicks are trailing by 17 to the Houston Rockets.
The Houston Hall Rockets.
And that's it's a little disappointing. I will say the podcast is better than the team because it couldn't be worse for any of our crossover listeners or our Knicks-Nets fans, the people who sit in both Venn diagrams.
What do you guys think of people that like both local sports teams, like Knicks and Nets? And I know there are a lot of people saying, oh, I'm a Jets and a Giants fan.
Josh,
like, that's like a George R.R.
Marcus is one of those people.
For what?
You like the Knicks and
No, but Marcus is a Jets fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I was just saying. But
there's some people that like them equally.
He's saying that I'm both a Knicks and a Nets fan.
But you don't like them equally. I guess not.
Yeah, I don't like
them. No, he's not a Knicks fan. He renounced that when he signed the contract.
Did you?
It was in the fine print.
I had him sign a separate contract renouncing all Knicks fandom.
Yeah, it was weird. He drew it up, and it was in crayon, and I kind of went with it. But here we are.
You know? Crayon or crayon?
Crayon.
Okay, Gavin, that's enough from you.
All right, bye.
All right, stay off, Mike. But yeah, I was just looking at the Heat-Wolves game. That's a big one just because, obviously, Brooklyn ends the season against Miami, so I think can still get the tiebreaker if they win that game. So if they can stay a game ahead to, I guess at worst, tied with Miami, that would be big going into that last game. But this puts a lot of pressure on that game tomorrow against Milwaukee if all those teams win.
Yeah, and if the Nets beat the Heat, they'll definitely have the tiebreak because they have, after head-to-head, it goes to conference, and the Nets are four games ahead of the Heat in the conference, which is great news. And listen, OKC is beating Detroit right now. I want to see what Detroit's next couple games look like because they're a team that could fall out of the playoffs if everything goes horribly for them.
Yeah, I think everyone's just kind of assumed that Detroit's in and is going to get the sixth seed.
Well, 538 said 99% odds.
Right. They also gave the Nets 90%, I remember, or 89% a couple weeks ago.
Charlotte, Memphis, New York. Okay. So
right. So that,
at least
I mean,
2-1.
Yeah, that Charlotte game, I guess, could go either way. Memphis, I think, has been playing a little bit better lately, but I think Mike Conley might be out for them. So, and the Knicks, obviously.
Be the Bruno Caboclo show.
Right. So, yeah, Detroit will probably get in, but I think it's possible that Orlando could pass them. Orlando's just been so hot. I could see the Magic getting the sixth seed.
Yeah, Orlando's just been on fire. And it's not something that anyone would have ever expected, but they're really good at home. They're 25-16 at home.
That's absurd.
Orlando, Evan Fournier.
I didn't even know that there were like Orlando Magic fans that would like show up and give them like a big home court.
Well, it's Kevin Clark from The Ringer.
He flies out every
game.
Game.
Yeah, Terrence Ross. They have Michael Carter Williams.
Jarrell Martin is that who's on the Magic?
Yeah.
Oh boy, they have because they played the Nets like three times in like 3 weeks. I remember in January, so I haven't really paid much attention to them since then. And I guess they're good
now. Figured out. Jonathan Isaac's really good.
Yeah, I liked Jonathan Isaac before the draft, and then he was, like, hurt his whole rookie year. Weston Wundu, I've liked him, but they haven't really gotten anything from Mo Bamba, and yet, like...
Yeah. Well, they got a banging song,
that's
but besides
true.
That...
Yeah, I guess that's something.
I wonder how much they play that in the locker room.
Yeah, do they play that, like, in the arena, even?
Probably.
If he's not playing? I guess, yeah.
Mo...
It's a good song.
So good. So good. Marcus, so let's talk a little bit about what we expect from the Nets tomorrow against Milwaukee. Milwaukee has clinched the one seed in the playoffs. I saw something where Giannis said he did want to play, but if he plays, I think I'm just going to lose my mind.
I think he's going to play. I think this Milwaukee team kind of wants to play it out. I know.
Why?
Well, because they still have Giannis who like wants to win the MVP and Bud for Coach of the Year, I guess. And so they're playing for pride. They have 59 wins, so I guess they kind of want that 60th to like bank that, and like I guess that looks better. But yeah, they don't have anything really to gain. They kind of only have things to lose because if someone got hurt, that would be obviously terrible. Mm. But I guess they also could gain. I think I mentioned it before, which I think you probably think I'm overblowing it a little bit. But if you don't want to play the Nets in the first round of the playoffs and you want to play one of these other teams, maybe you try extra hard to beat them. And then you kind of take your foot off the pedal.
Why wouldn't they want to play the net? They own us.
I know.
We suck against them.
But like relatively, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like we have not been able to put up a fight against Milwaukee all year.
No, yeah.
I mean, I guess
they played
Monday
well.
Was okay.
Yeah, Monday. The Nets got down big early and then came back.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging.
I missed it the whole run because I was getting my Fuku chicken sandwich.
Right, as we talked about on the last pod.
Yeah. Big David Chang.
Was it a good sandwich, by the way?
I was waiting for someone to get the sandwich. The tenders were really good.
That's right.
The tenders were really good. And
spicy or just normal?
Not super spicy. They had a nice seasoning on the fries,
uh-huh.
Which was really good. I feel like we should do a House of Carbs podcast about the
Barclays Center. We'll do a pod in the off season, I'm sure, about food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be a Gavin to get his vegan inspired basketball treats.
Don't get on mic, Gavin, please.
Stay off. Okay, we will take a final break here. Coming up, we'll talk about the implications of tomorrow's game against Milwaukee. Last segment here on the Locked On Nets podcast. Before we get into the Allen Crabbe news, wanted to say that we hope you follow us on Twitter, Marcus at Marcus Barahal, myself at JMBass_, and the joint 1+1=3 synergistic podcast account of Locked On Nets. And again, please subscribe to our podcast on the Himalaya podcast app and wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, please say, "Hey Alexa, play Locked On Nets," or any of our friends on the Locked On Podcast Network. Marcus, we had some unfortunate news in Nets land drop yesterday. Allen Crabbe, the much maligned Allen Crabbe, the poison crab, if you will, said he is out for the season with had a right knee arthroscopic surgery, surgery done by Riley Williams III of the Hospital for Special Surgery. Brian Lewis reported the news. Crabbe out for the year. He hadn't played in a few weeks, or I guess a week or two. They thought it was just going to be a minor thing, that he was going to be out for the weekend. This was during the Kings and Lakers game. He ended up being not playing the rest of the season, so his last game was officially March 13th against the Thunder. Finished the season with 43 games played, and really just another very disappointing year for Crabbe after the Nets probably made the one blemish on Sean Marks' resume of trading for him straight up for the immortal Andrew Nicholson in the summer of 2017.
Yeah, it's definitely a loss just because of the shooting that he brought, and he was shooting the ball pretty well when he first came back from the injury.
Yeah.
So that's obviously going to be missed. When they had him and Joe Harris out there with D'Lo and Jared Allen and Dinwiddie, that was like a really nice five, I thought. It was kind of small, but it was like everyone could shoot, everyone was kind of capable. So I think it just means like maybe Jared Dudley has to kind of stick in the rotation even in the playoffs for a couple of minutes just because of his shooting, and they don't really have that off the bench in spades. So I think that could be the result of this injury. And for Crabbe, I mean, he hasn't been like a guy who's missed a ton of time. He played most of his games the last few years, but he had like a couple different injuries this year, right? Because he missed that time early on in the year. He had the bruised fat pad
in the left knee, and then he got surgery in the right knee.
Right. So, oh, that's where a fat pad is, on the knee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no clue.
Because, listen, look at Allen Crabbe. He's like, okay, this guy probably has a thin pad, but he's a fat pad.
He's a fit guy.
Yeah. I mean, Crabbe definitely brought a lot with his 3-point shooting, finished the season at exactly the same percentage as he did last year. 37.8% from three on six attempts a game. The problem was that he could not hit a two-pointer to save his life. 34% on twos this year, which is just ungodly bad.
That's terrible.
And then I'm just looking kind of at the breakdown now. He shot 13.6% from 3 to 10 feet, and then 15% from 16 to the three-point line.
Yikes.
I don't understand how you can do that bad.
Yeah, I mean, those shots are like kind of inefficient anyway, unless you're shooting them at a high clip, and if you're shooting them that poorly, it's like almost unconscionable to take one.
Well, it's supposed to be that, okay, you're basically shooting the same percentage from beyond the 3-point line as you are on that long two.
Right.
So it's why not get the extra point? He shot 15% from 16 to 23 feet.
Yeah, he shot like 2.5 times worse from a step closer to the basket, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, and we all know that Allen Crabbe is definitely not going to. I mean, he's on his best day, an okay defender. He's not going to bring much on the boards. He's not a playmaker for others. So if he's not hitting his threes and not scoring at least somewhat efficiently, he's not really going to be of much value. But he is still a loss for this Nets team that's desperate for shooting, as you mentioned. And after two really disappointing seasons, do you think the Cool Breeze era is over in Brooklyn?
Cool Breeze is Allen Crabbe.
Yes, yeah, that's okay. His basketball reference nickname. As
okay,
I'm looking
just
at
wanted
now.
To clarify.
He should have more. He's Krabby Patty, Crab Cake, Crab and Goyle. We're crab people now. Soft yeah. Shell.
Soft Shell. I like Soft Shell a lot. Actually,
imitation crab. That's when he has a bad game. I'm gonna call him imitation crab.
That's pretty good. yeah, I think that these 2 years have been kind of a struggle, just because I think he came in with expectations that were probably a little bit too high. Mm. Like, I think people thought he'd be more of a secondary creator, like off the catch on drives, and he kind of is just like a shooter, and he'll maybe
he's
like,
literally just a shooter.
Yeah, he'll maybe like pump and then take that sidestep and then shoot. That's like his move. But I still think that there's a role for him, just because he is a really good shooter, like we talked about. He did shoot close to 38% the last 2 years on like a ton of attempts. And so I think that there's still a place for him when he comes back healthy, assuming he can still shoot the ball. It's just he's not going to be the starter. I think Joe Harris is like clearly past him, and I don't see that changing.
Yeah, and Joe Harris is a guy, like, you look at him, you say, oh, this guy's just a shooter. But one, he's a much better shooter than Allen Crabbe, and he could also do a lot more on the court. So it's funny because Allen Crabbe, you look at him and be like, okay, kind of athletic swingman, maybe he can do a couple things. And he's the most one-dimensional person of all time. Unfortunately for him, for the Nets, his birthday last year, which was April 9th, he went off against Milwaukee, scored 41 points. I remember I was in Savannah at that time, and I was just checking my phone and saw Allen Crabbe hit 9 threes and was saying there must be a typo, but it wasn't. So I was expecting another big performance from Allen Crabbe as the Nets play Milwaukee again and near his birthday.
Yeah, his birthday's coming up
his
Tuesday.
His 27th birthday, yeah.
Wow, so tough look, I guess, to have surgery like days before your birthday.
Yeah, well, he can just party. He doesn't have to
do anything.
The Cool Breeze Mafia will be in town.
Is that just
his friends?
That's
his, like, hive group, okay. Yeah.
The Wind?
Is that what it's called? I don't know. The Wind or the Breeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Warm Breeze to balance him out. But we're getting off the rails here. We'll probably be back in your ears, I think, Sunday?
Yeah.
We'll do Sunday. Hopefully it will be with good news this time, recapping the Bucks game. If not, Marcus, you're really going to have to talk me off the ledge, because if they lose again tomorrow, it's going to be tough for us.
Yeah, if they lose, they'll fall to 39-41 with that Pacer game, and then the very climactic Heat game coming up at the end of the season. So definitely a big game tomorrow, so fingies crossed, as they say in the biz.
Fingies crossed. I love that I already did the plugs at the beginning of segment 3, so I don't have to do it. You can rewind to about 5 minutes ago and hear them again in case you forgot. But please do the things we want you to do. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast, listen, be loyal fans, and root very hard for our Brooklyn Nets.
Bye.